side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkel.
And I am Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad that you're here. If you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. And if you're a driver out in the road and you find yourself in a sticky situation where, you know what, you could use some food, but you ain't got it, go to preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com, and you can get yourself some emergency preparedness food. It comes in the 5-gallon bucket. Very useful thing to have when you're out on the road, because like my dad said a couple times on the show, he's been stuck in 13 hours of bumper to bumper traffic because of snowstorms, things like that. You just never know when you're out on the road what could happen, and you might need some food. And this is non-perishable stuff. It lasts for up to 25 years. It's a great way to have some stuff in the cab, so you just know you're always prepared. Preparewithhll.com. And if you get a 4-week supply of food, we'll actually knock $100 off for you. So that's a great deal too. Don't you think, Dad?
I do think so. And, you know, I just to add on to that, you know, it's not just about getting stuck on the road, but let's all go back, take a step back to the beginning of this whole COVID thing.
Yeah.
How many truck drivers weren't able to get food or get into a restaurant because restaurants were all shut down? They couldn't drive their truck through a drive-through.
Yep.
And when this whole thing started, they were, you know, everybody was trying to figure out how in the world we're going to eat.
Yeah.
Well, this is a way to make sure that you're going to eat, mm-hmm. that you are going to have something on hand if everything falls apart like that again.
And that's a great point, because like there was drivers walking up to drive-thrus trying to order food and they were denying them service. And people will say, well, it's not going to happen again. We learned our mistake. It's not going to happen again. But there's always going to be something else that happens that throws us off guard and screws the driver over again,
yes.
right? It's going to happen. It happens. And you just want to be prepared. And not to mention, if you're at home with the family, you want to have food there for the at the house as well. When this all happened and stuff, the shelves were bare in the stores.
That's right.
And so we have buckets of preparedness food at my house, and we also have a freezer full of food. So, hey, listen, I'm not telling you to go to preparewithhll.com if you don't want to and stuff, but this is something that you're interested in. Go ahead, check it out, because I'll tell you straight up, rice and beans does the trick too. You know, honest to God. So if you're looking for, if you're on a budget and stuff and you don't really want to go and get yourself the emergency preparedness bucket kind of thing, that's fine. Go and get yourself some rice and beans and stuff, because it does the trick as well. And you just want to make sure you're prepared. You just don't know. It could be a bad storm that knocks the power out. It could be, you know, food shortages like we experienced. You just never know. I'm really big on preparing, so I just want people to be prepared.
That's right.
So, Dad, before we get into today's show, because we got another break room show coming up with my uncle, your brother, on
yes,
the
sir.
Show. I think it's so cool. He came over, visited. We came down to the studio. We did another break room episode. It was just a good time talking. We actually got into some good conversation, including the time where when you were a kid and you saw that UFO. Well, he was one of your siblings that was there when that happened. So we got to hear his side of the story.
Yeah, from a 6-year he was 6 years older than I am.
Yeah, so he was older.
Yeah, no, older.
And it was really cool for me to kind of just sit there and kind of take it all in and be like, wow, this is the same story that my dad told me my whole life. Now you're telling me the story. It was really cool.
Yeah.
I want to get into the voicemail line, because people were calling the voicemail line. And I want to let people hear some of the voicemails. We got actually a returning person on the voicemail line.
Oh,
I'm really excited about it. Yeah, it's really cool. But Dad, tell the people what they can do to call into the voicemail to leave their voicemail.
You know what? Leave your voicemail at 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375. We really want to hear from you. We do. We really want to hear from people, and we want to hear your stories and the things you have to say.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you feel like you have something you want to share on the show, but you don't know if you want to actually be on the show, or maybe it's just not that long of a story, this is a great option for you to get on the show, share your story without actually being here for an hour interview with us and stuff, which I would always vote for. I think that it's always cool to have people come on the show and just chit chat, talk about the industry, talk about life and stuff. But if this is more your speed, that's fine. Just go to 515-585-MERC and leave us your voicemail. The first person up we're going to have here is Shauna, and she's a driver and she wanted to share some things. Let's bring on Shauna right now.
Hello, my name's Shauna. I've been a driver for 3 years. I just wanted to tell you about the little things of overthinking when you're out here on the truck. Okay. First thing is, I had went to a yard in El Paso, and on the yard it says, watch out for rattlesnakes. So I drop my trailer, and I get back in my truck, and I drive back up to the shop to get ready to go to bed for the night. And I go inside to go to the bathroom, and I get out of the truck, and I hear, and I'm freaking out, shining my flashlight everywhere. I try to look for whatever that thing is. It's my airbags. The second thing is I'd watched a movie called Trucks by Stephen King a couple of nights before I had done this, and my truck has automatic restart. So when I stop for the night, it can start when it gets cold or start when it gets hot. And I had turned the automatic restart on for while I was on my break, and I was going inside to get a bag of ice, and I hadn't got but maybe 10 feet in front of my truck when I heard it start, and that movie crossed my mind about the trucks coming to life and killing people. I about jumped about 6 feet in the air. That's all I got to tell you. That's just overthinking me. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks a lot, Shauna, for coming on the show. What do you think about that, Dad?
Oh, that's hilarious. It's really so cool because it's amazing what your mind will do to you, you know, when you're alone and, you know, you see a sign about rattlesnakes. You know what? I'd do the same thing. I'd be like, okay, what is that noise? And, you know, it's like, I freaked myself out on my own truck.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think it was just last weekend. I was outside with Ben, and we saw some snakes actually in a pile of woods out in the back, or a pile of wood out in the back of the yard.
Right.
And so I showed them that, and they get away, and I turn around, and there's a stick on the ground, and Ben turns around, he's like, ah, snake! And he wouldn't go near it. I had to pick it up and show him it's just a stick, you know? Ben's my son, by the way, anybody doesn't know. But we have another voicemail on the line here, Dad, and it's a returning person. So let's bring on Susan.
Fantastic.
Hey, Brian, it's Antonio. It's Susan in Chicago. Can you please tell all these OTR drivers, eastbound Eisenhower, I-290, bridges out and closed. Read the complete sign for the westbound. I'm tired of pulling tractor trailers out of here. Yes, the sign says 14 too high. Read the whole sign with 9'8". Currently, westbound Eisenhower. All the OTR drivers that are going around the toll road, you cannot get through. The width is only 9'8" going westbound. Thank you. Susan BNS Towing in Chicago. Go ahead, Brian Towing. Pass my message along. Have a great day.
We okay. will, Susan. Thanks for being on the show.
Yes, we will.
Dude, I love Susan.
just that right.
The way she tells stories, the way she talks, yeah. It's just so fun. It's so entertaining. Like, she is somebody who could fill the third mic in this studio
for
sure.
Lord, yeah, that'd be cool to have her in.
Oh, yeah, that'd be so cool. She said, just pass on a message. So we are passing on the message, Susan. OTR drivers out there, get it together, because Susan's tired of pulling you out. I mean, I think that's classic Susan style right there,
yes,
you know? And I think that was Susan like, because she could have gone harder.
Oh, yeah.
<You know?
laughs> That's cool.
The Susan from South Chicago does not pull punches. She gives it to people, and I love it about her.
Yes, she does. Yes,
yeah.
I agree with that 100%. She's a fun person.
Yeah, so, hey, listen, that was the voicemail line. I don't know if we ever actually named the voicemail line. We'll have to come up with a name for it if we didn't. But
yeah.
If you want to call and leave a voicemail just like that, go ahead and call us 515-585-MERC, M-E-R-K, or 6375. That's 515-585-6375. Now, Dad, we're going to bring on my uncle, your brother, right now. interesting show today because we got another in-studio guest, my Uncle Pally. How you doing, sir?
Hey, pretty good. How about you, Tony?
I'm doing good. So I think what we should do, Dad, is I think we should talk about how Uncle Pally got his name, because everybody's going to be like, what's a Pally?
I think that's a good idea.
So whoever wants to start that story, I know it involves both of you guys, but I'm not exactly sure how it all happened.
Oh, no. Go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
All right. Well, you know, when we were younger, I was giving my brother a hard time and just started calling him Pally because that's what Rocky called his brother-in-law, Pally.
Oh.
And so just as a wiseacre thing, I was like, all right, Pally. And I just kind of did it all the time. And then the nieces and nephews started picking it up, and it's Uncle Pally. And it's been Uncle Pally ever since.
Yeah. And it's funny because I didn't realize, I knew it was like something like that, but I didn't know where it came from. And now it's to the point where, so like if I would have introduced you as Uncle Cameron, I personally feel like that would be a disrespect to you. Like, it's your name, but I'm like, I've never called you Uncle Cameron. So like if I did it now, it'd be just awkward. It'd be like, who's this guy?
It's another person in the family I didn't know about. Who's this Uncle Cameron guy?
Yeah, it's just weird. So I figured, you know, let's just do Uncle Pally and let it roll and tell the people, you know, where we got that name from and yep. stuff. But yeah, I've been calling you Uncle Pally for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a term of endearment.
It is now. It wasn't then. It was supposed to be a wise ass thing.
I mean, that's going on probably what 30 some years now.
Oh yeah.
At least.
Jeez.
Since it was, you know, nieces and nephews in the family, and you're 35, so
uh-huh. Jeez.
You're old.
Crazy. So, Uncle Pally, let's put it this way. You drive as long as I can remember doing something. I know you were working for Dunbar for the longest time, and you drove for them.
Right, right.
I mean, tell me, like, first of all, Dunbar. I know there's got to be experiences at that job that you're like, what the hell just happened? Like, when I think about, like, moving cash for a living, I'm thinking to myself, like, I picture, like, Gotham City or something, and someone's going to try robbing my truck.
Well, it wasn't quite Gotham City, but...
Close enough.
There was times it was close. So, but yeah, it was an interesting concept of, you know, moving cash around and, you know, guarding other people's money, especially Jim Dunbar's.
Yeah. I didn't know that was his name, Jim Dunbar.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was one of the founders. The son of one of the founders.
Yeah.
And he had been the guy in charge of it since 1960s probably until about 10 years ago.
Man.
Yeah, he was a good guy to work for.
Wait, so he's not...
No, he retired and his son took over. Kevin took over for him. He was kind of getting up there in years and was looking to retire. And so he turned the company over to the only kid who wanted it. So
there you go.
So I think that if I was driving those trucks, I'd be on edge all the time. Is it the kind of job that you have to be on edge all the time because you're handling that kind of money and stuff?
It's something you get used to. You don't want to say you're on edge because if you think about it all the time, then you become paranoid. You get to a point where you're afraid of it and you can't be. It was a thing where you did the job, and if you went home at the end of the day and nothing happened, it was a good day.
Yeah.
If something did happen, you always had resources and backup somewhere to fall back on. So there was times it was a little unnerving, but you learned to deal with
it. Did you ever have anybody try doing anything?
No,
that's good.
That is a good thing.
That's good. When I'm in a Wawa or something, and I think Wawa does a different company. What's the other company around here? They drive the gray ones.
Brinks. Right.
I think they do Wawas, and I just know, like, when they have the ATM out in the middle of the floor, and the guy's got to go in there and do the money. Like, I always like take the long way around because I'm like, I don't want you thinking I'm trying anything.
I don't
want
to get too close.
I'm just like, you're doing a lot of money. I don't know who you are, but I know you got a gun on your hip, and I just want to be chill about it. Like, I want to give you your space, my man.
Right. Yeah. Well, I did ATMs for a long time for them, and fortunately, with Dunbar, it was a two-man team.
Okay.
So two guys would go into the store. You did your swap out. So one guy could always kind of watch your back.
Mm.
The downside is there's some companies that don't do that. They send one guy in and he's got his head in the machine. When I was there more than one occasion, we had a guy who was in a mall. Hey, I'm going to be watching for the Loomis guy or this guy or that guy because they're in here doing the ATM. They're opening the mall. He's got his back to the crowds and he's got his head in the machine.
Mm.
So it was one of those things. We all do the same stupid job.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's watch out for each other. And so that's what we did.
That's interesting. I think that it should probably be a standard practice that you have more than one guy there at all times.
For most companies, your average route truck was two guys. One guy drove, the other guy did what they call the messenger end of it, going in and out of the businesses. There was a couple of routes, particularly with Dunbar when I was there. They did a school route where you picked up at hub schools where they brought in like lunch money and class dues at the high school and stuff like that. That was generally a one-man truck. Mm-hmm. And the only downside to that is you're going in, and when you go to get back in your vehicle, your back is to your vehicle and nothing behind you. And you'd like to think that kids aren't vicious, but I can think of at least two occasions where guys got shot over what might be in that bag or might not be in that bag.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Did anybody, like, is that somebody that you might have known and stuff at Dunbar, or is that like other companies?
No, it was there. It did happen for Dunbar at one location in Lancaster, California.
Wow.
And when they finally caught the guy, it turned out that he had actually picked up $50 in lunch money. So the guy actually got shot for $50. Yeah. It's a job where you really, you must be able to accept your mortality every day.
Yeah.
You know, you get up in the morning, you take a shower, and as you're shaving your face, you're telling yourself, if I blink one time today, that's it. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gives you that. It wakes you to the fact of what you're going to have to deal with for the rest of the day.
That's crazy, because I kind of felt like, it wasn't on that level, but when I was at the parking authority in Reading, I kind of felt like that going into work every day. I was just like, especially in the beginning, I was like, I may not go home today because people are crazy. Like, I when I took that job, I was like, there's no way. It's like, I didn't even think it'd be a problem. I was like, I'm just writing parking tickets. Nobody's going to get, like, it's not crazy, right?
Nobody's going to shoot me over that.
I mean, people go nuts. And I know when we did the booting and we had a, when I was I know this one time I was putting a boot on a vehicle. And when that happens, usually you're supposed to have somebody standing there next to you, making sure nobody comes up while you're bent over doing the boot. And this one lady that was with me, she was on her phone texting and she wasn't watching. And you hear this guy, he's like, "Hey, that's my car." And you're like, "You watching?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'm watching." And so I'm doing my thing. And all of a sudden, boom, I go flying and he checks me. Wow. He's trying to pry it with a screwdriver and stuff. And she I don't want to say her name, but she's like, "Oh, I was on my phone." I was like, "Oh my God." And there was another time I was at North 9th Street in Reading. This was probably outside the reason why I quit that job. This is probably the scariest thing I've had happen at the job. We were in a neighborhood. North 9th Street, Reading is not a good area.
No.
And this guy, for whatever reason, maybe he was double parked, I don't remember, but we pulled up behind this vehicle to do a ticket. And she gets out, same lady, she gets out of the vehicle and starts writing the ticket. And this guy's on his porch and he's yelling at her and stuff. And I'm just sitting in the truck, just kind of like watching, you know. And he comes off the porch and he's getting closer and closer to her. And when he got off the porch, this guy was jacked. Like, he looked like he's just spent like 10 years in prison and all he did is work out the whole time. I was scared. And he comes off the porch and I'm just like, "Oh, here we go." And so I get out of the truck and I start like slowly walking. So I'm like, I'm running things out of my head. I'm like, "Well, she's a lady. He's not going to hit her." And then as the time started going forward, I was like, "This guy might hit her. He might do something." And I was like, "I'm going to lose my life over this. Oh my God." And I'm trying to calm down. I'm like, "It's all right, man." I think we even took the ticket back. We're like, "It's okay. Not a big deal." Like, I'm like, "It's okay, man. Tell your friends. We're the good guys, you know." Like, when you see us coming, go ahead, double park, whatever gets me out of this situation. Because I was scared.
Oh, yeah. I was scared. I can believe that. I mean, it's like you said. I mean, the world is an odd place and you never know what you're going to run across.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on the person, the personality of the person in the confrontation. I mean, they might just look at you and say, "Oh yeah, I understand. You're just doing your job. As much as I hate it, you're just doing your job." But then again, they may just say, "Yeah, you're doing your job." Mm-hmm. And I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. What prompted me to quit that job was something that I wasn't doing my job, but I technically shouldn't have been involved in. This guy was punching a lady in the face on Penn Street, and I'm on the other side of the street, and you know, the parking authority guys, they ride around on mountain bikes all over town, downtown I should say. And so I'm on a mountain bike and I see this, and there's like 20 people out there just doing their thing, and they're just watching. And so I ride across and I didn't touch him. I was just like, man, relax, chill out, you know, trying to diffuse. And she walks away yelling at him, and he turned around like he was just going to leave. And then something clicked in his head and he turned around, punched me in the face, and we wound up fighting. It felt like forever. I don't know how long it was, but that situation got real sticky. And, you know, there was other people involved and guns and all that stuff. And I was just like, I'm done. I was scared to do my job. Like I literally went from somebody who probably averaged close to 100 tickets a day. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't a jerk about it. Like I was right. One of the guys is like, if you're double parked and I see it and you say, I'll move it. No problem, man. I didn't finish the ticket. Go ahead. You know, whatever. I just was out there. I was doing my job. But after that, I mean, I would only do meters. And I was like doing like 20 a day. And my boss is like, what's going on? I was like, listen, I'm just being honest with you. I'm going to be quitting as soon as I find another job. And, and that's when I started driving truck. So I was done.
Right. Yeah. There's no job, as far as I'm concerned, worth dying over.
Yeah.
Not any. You do what you have to do to earn a living. And sometimes you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Until something happens.
So something happens. You know how much I got paid for that job? $12.50.
Wow.
And I was like, is this worth losing my job and getting punched in the face? And I was like, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Especially because they had other officers that were grandfathered in underneath the old money. And those guys were making $18 an hour.
Wow.
And I was a new guy. And so I was getting paid $12.50. And I was like, this is not worth it. I'm out of here. I think I would have taken a truck driving job for less money than $12.50 to get out of that job. That's how much I was scared.
Right.
I think if they would have said $10 an hour to drive, sign me up. I'm there. I was that scared to go to work every day. So, but you drove dump truck for how long now?
5 years.
5 years?
Yep. Triaxle.
Jeez.
I know. That's crazy.
I've kicked around the idea of doing dump truck if I ever get out of trailer driving. What do you say to that?
It's a different experience. Weigh almost as much as your tractor trailer does on a much shorter wheelbase.
Yeah.
Well, so it's, sure. You know, legally can be 72 or 73, 280 with a wheelbase that's about half the length of your tractor and about a third of your trailer.
Wow.
And it's going to weigh about the same.
Wow.
The whole thing is not to be overweight. You don't want to be overweight. I have seen other companies get on a scale at, 80,000 pounds in Pennsylvania, 90,000 pounds, 100,000 pounds. So it's
100,000 pounds.
Yes.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Holy crap. And that's not legal, right?
No.
Okay. I wasn't sure if there's different rules for, you know, dump trucks or what.
No, that's not legal any place.
Holy crap. Yeah. 100,000 pounds.
That's some serious weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez. Like there's days that I pull out of my terminal. I'm not even kidding you. I'll have like a full trailer of just light stuff and I'll have like 6,000 pounds in my trailer.
Right.
And it's just like, you know, good pulling Lord. A dump truck that heavy. Yeah. I'm assuming they're coming to roll then. They roll a lot.
They can. I mean,
you're not paying attention.
Right. You got to be careful. I mean, it's one of those things where the center of gravity is about the same height as your tractor trailer. It's just, it's more compact material.
Yeah.
So we're dealing with stone, salt, dirt, stuff like that. So it's a heavier content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what I used to always tell the guys is, oh, I don't know if I got to go up to this on my scale, because they have an onboard scale. Mm-hmm. You can tell roughly how heavy you're going to be. They'd always tell me, oh, well, you're going to go a little bit light. There's no ticket for going light, only for going heavy.
Who's responsible for the ticket?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's always the question.
I always wonder about that, because I've never gotten a ticket at driving truck at Pitt, Ohio, or anywhere.
The company's
responsible for it.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
It depends on your company. With the company I was with, because you had an onboard scale, you know what your number should be when you're loaded, when you're legal. If you go above that, that ticket's all yours.
Yeah, it's because you're there while it's being loaded. You can stop them at any point.
Right.
And say, hey, but exactly. Like what we do. I have no control over what gets put on my truck, right? Yeah. You know, so if it's overweight, it's on the company. They take care of the ticket, right. Which, I mean, Pitt's usually really, really good with that. I mean, they don't, you know, they don't really play around with that too much. I mean, we can get pretty heavy loads, mm-hmm. but, you know, sometimes they get loaded where it's really nose heavy and you're way too heavy on your drives or whatever. And you can't, no matter what you do, you know, you try sliding your tandems or whatever, you can't level out that weight at all. Yeah. It's just the way it is. But they pay overweight tickets.
Yeah, because I mean, I always wonder, because when I pull out sometimes, like, so sometimes, you know, they'll do errors where, it just happened Friday. Friday, they were loading my truck and they couldn't find some freight. And so we dropped the bill off of it, only to find out, I get halfway through my run, they loaded it on the trailer.
It was already there.
They couldn't find it. They just didn't sign it.
And now
it
you
off.
Don't have the bill.
Right. And so like, I wonder about those kind of things where it's like, well, what if that would have put me overweight? Would that be on me? Or what?
Or what if that was hazmat?
Or yeah, hazmat. Yeah, exactly.
Where it had to be placarded. I mean, maybe we should bleep that part out.
No, I mean, it's true.
Shouldn't have asked that question.
No, it's true. I mean, because I got suspended from work for, what was it, a day? I think it was. Yeah, I think it was a day. I got suspended because they came up with this new rule where, so it's not my fault. That's why a great story start out.
Yeah.
Everyone
does. I had nothing to do with this.
No, but I mean, so if I bring back poison to the terminal and I ran all the paperwork the way I'm supposed to and I drop it off on the dock, they unload it, they load it on another trailer, that goes out to Cleveland.
Right.
It's not legally, it's out of my hands. It's not my, I did my job. But because they were having issues with guys still not reading, I guess, the paperwork on the dock or whatever, and they were loading poison next to food, which was ruining the load because now you have to throw the food away. They implemented this new rule where drivers, when we're picking up poison, you're supposed to call it into dispatch so dispatch can tell the tower on the dock, so everybody knows that there's poison coming in on Tony's truck. And it was like a zero tolerance thing. Well, I it was kind of like half joking, but it was also like, I was kind of half serious too. When they implemented this rule, I'm standing there and it's like a safety meeting and I lean over to the guy next to me. I'm like, I'm going to be the first one to do this.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! Like, I mean, literally like a week into this new rule, I did it. And it was like a zero tolerance. And it's like first offense suspended, second offense fired, you know?
Wow.
And I got suspended and,
don't do it again.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, so I think it was maybe this 2 weeks into or something like that, because I remember, my boss saying that in the short period of time that they implemented this rule, they had like 80 some drivers that violated it. And it's because we're doing our job right. Like like legally, we're in the mindset that, you know, we have hazmat, we put it to the computer, all that stuff. It's just we forgot to call it into the terminal that we've never done before. And all of a sudden we have to do it. And I heard that at one of the terminals, there was like 20 some guys that did it in one day.
Wow.
And it's almost like, I think that was like an organized attack. I think it was the driver saying, you know what? You can't fire us all. So let's see how long this rule
like
lasts.
Like a work slowdown, you know, we're all in this together.
Yeah. But it's funny how when you're dealing with like, that kind of stuff, it sucks because you have the company rules that you have to follow and stuff, but then you also have the state rules with CDL and everything. And it's just like, it seems like every year it's just getting harder and harder to remember everything you have to do. Like there's so much regulations and stuff. I'm assuming you've dealt with that with your stuff too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we were hauling a hazmat load, particular hazmat load out of a dig site, it was mostly not considered extremely hazardous, but it was soil or stone impacted with lead or some kind of chemical. It was going to a landfill. The only regulation we had is that if we were going into Pennsylvania and it was not, that was its final destination. So in other words, it was going to a landfill in Pennsylvania. We had to call ahead and let our terminal know. That's Pennsylvania law. But if it was going to, Pennsylvania was not its final destination, if we were taking it to our rail cars and it was going Midwest, we'd have to call it in. So that got kind of weird because all of a sudden it's going to our yard, which is in Pennsylvania. Do we have to call it in? Do we not have to call it in? Mm-hmm. But you're right. The regulations are at times just bizarre.
Yeah.
And in some instances actually conflict with each other.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets hard for the guys doing the job.
It's so hard.
It's frustrating.
It's so frustrating.
It is. It is. I mean, that's one of the hardest things about this job is the intricacy, the tediousness
right.
of some of this stuff that you have to be focused on. Okay, so what's the law say? What's my company say? You know, what will I get in trouble for? What won't I get in trouble? You know, and you hate thinking that way, but that's how the business is. That's how this industry is, and it's part of the industry, and you learn to deal with it.
Right.
You know, I mean, you just do because you have to. It's frustrating, but you have to do it.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the sad part is that I know the company I worked for, they went to an e-log and there was things that they could fix,
right.
you know, if they needed to in the office. They sent people to Texas to be trained, the whole nine yards. And the longer it went, the more stuff they put on the driver. So now you don't want me to be a distracted driver, but I got to keep playing with this thing the whole time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Get my workload done and still sit and play with this thing for an hour, hour and a half to get it to work right.
Yep.
And it can be very highly frustrating.
Yeah.
It really can be.
Well, that is for sure. And the glitchiness of these things, this is why I'm so totally convinced at this point that it's going to be a long time till we have trucks that drive themselves on a regular basis on the highways. Because if we can't get the e-log figured out and keep that from getting glitchy, you're going to tell me you're going to put 80,000 pounds going down the highway and all of a sudden the computer clicks out?
Exactly.
Sorry. You know, what are you going to tell all those people that you just ran over? I know that sounds...
Better luck next time.
I mean, I know that sounds terrible to think that way, but you have to. You have to think what's the logical conclusion of this is, you know, people can still hack computers and people are still hacking computers, right, Tony? You know, it's just a reality of this stuff. And so to think that somehow we have made a miracle in technology now where tractor trailers simply because that they're on autopilot, they're not going to get hacked, really? I mean, that's why I feel like, you know, I don't think we're close to
that's a good
the point.
Though you did bring a good point up because, you know, I'm on the opposite end of that with you.
I know you are. That's okay.
I think we're much closer to trucks driving themselves than what you think. But it's a good point where could they be hacked? Is it hackable?
Right.
I think anything that's computer is hackable.
Yep.
And man, that imagine, like, that's a new form of terrorism.
Yes, it is.
Imagine if you get some kind of terrorist type person that, you know, they're out there and they're trying to hack vehicles and traffic to create pileups.
Right.
Imagine if they created a way where they found a loophole in the system and they're like, okay, if I push the green button right now, or the red button, let's go with the red button. If I push this red button right now, on I-81, there's going to be at least a 50 car pileup.
Right.
But I'm going to hack. So I'm going to push that red button. There's going to be a pileup in five different spots in 30 states all at one time. You know, like, that's crazy to think about, but it's possible.
Yes,
right.
Is.
But it's absolutely possible.
Right.
I mean, look at the hacks that have occurred even on a retail end in stores, and they may not realize it was a hack that caused that pileup. Until they really do an investigation.
Yep.
And they find out that the truck itself malfunctioned. Now they go to look and see why it malfunctioned. So until they get to that end result and do that investigation, how many more times does it happen?
Jeez.
I know. It's a scary proposition.
I never thought about that.
It really is a scary proposition.
I'd never thought about that. Yep. Elon Musk better make sure he has that down before he...
You got that right.
Because, you know, he's going to be the guy that leads the charge on that. I mean, they're talking about automation in general, the automation industry, and how they're planning on rolling out, you know, automated stuff through transportation industry first.
Right.
Like, they're designing automation with the transportation industry in mind. And so that, on that end of things, I'm like, it's going to happen. Because if there's anywhere to make money and especially pioneer a new industry, somebody's going to do it.
Right.
And so it's going to happen at some point. But man, never thought about hacking.
Yep.
Never thought about hacking.
Yeah.
And you dropped just, you know, in that little segment you just did, I wasn't hacked. But
why I looked at you when I said it.
Don't worry, people. The show's safe. Okay, you're gonna get your show every week. We're fine.
Yeah, everybody's going, oh crap.
No, I wasn't hacked in that sense. But I woke up this morning, and or I should say, I was up this morning. Lindsay woke up and she saw on her phone that she had a text message from Walmart saying her order's ready to be picked up. And she's like, I don't know what this is. Did you order anything? I said, no, I didn't order anything. It must be, you know. And she said, there's a link. I said, don't click the link because That's how they hack your phone. That's what I said to her. I said people, and I told her because I had just heard, I just listened to somebody talking about this, where how the hackers go about hacking iPhones. It's really hard,
right?
But once they find one of the main ways they try doing it is through your Safari browser, where they'll text you a link, and if you click on it, it will open up the Safari and it'll give them control over the Safari. And then from there, they gain control over the phone. And they because iPhones are really hard to hack, but once they're hacked, they're hacked. And you might as well just get another phone. There's no way you're unhacking it.
Wow.
And so I told her that whole thing. I said, don't click the link. It's probably just some, you know, hacker. And so I come down here in the studio and I'm working this morning, and Lindsay texts me and she's like, we're missing over $1,000 off our bank account.
Wow.
And I was like, ah. I go upstairs, and by the time I got upstairs, she said that somebody, I don't know, we still don't know how it happened or what happened, but somebody used my wife's card to purchase 4 TVs in Walmart in Massachusetts. And 2 of the TVs were out of stock. And so, but somehow we wound up paying over $1,000 for these TVs. And then she looked in her email, and the email said, "Hi, Amanda, your order is ready to be picked up between 9 and 10 a.m. this morning." And I was like, Amanda, wow. You slick thing, you. So I called.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what you were thinking.
Yeah, I called the Walmart in Massachusetts that they were supposed to be picking up from. Yeah. I told them, the person picking that up stole my wife's card. You stop them. You know, I was like giving them, I was like, you do whatever you got to do. And
right.
So they took my info. They called the police up in Massachusetts. The police called me. I told them what was going on. The police told me to call my police. So I called my police, and they were supposed to come out this morning, but they actually just called Lindsay then and got her information. And then Lindsay's looking through the rest of her emails, and she has tons of emails from like different companies and websites. Thank you for signing up, this, that, and the other. So I don't know. I still don't know at this moment. I don't know how this is all going to turn out. I don't know if there's charges that just haven't gone through because it's the weekend. We'll see it tomorrow. But we did cut her card off, and you know, it is what it is, I guess. But it prompted me to sign up for LifeLock.
Right.
And
this is a free commercial.
Yeah. Well, it's actually a test run, because I actually emailed LifeLock this morning about affiliate programming and marketing.
Cool.
I went to LifeLock.com and I was looking at what they do and stuff, and I was really impressed. And so I signed up for it. And then during the sign up process, they're asking you how you found out about them. And I clicked on it, and it's like all these different radio programs. I'm like, huh, I wonder if I could do that. And so I shot him an email. We'll see what happens. Maybe we'll be advertising for LifeLock soon. But yeah, it's crazy how all that stuff works out and stuff. But as far as hacking computers and trucks and stuff, that's on another level. We had hacking happen at Pitt, Ohio this year. How'd that all happen? Do you remember?
I don't even know how it went down. I'm not sure how it happened.
Dad, I'm giving you a layup so you can talk here. Now I got to tell a story because I already know.
Well, I don't know.
I'm giving you an opportunity to talk here, Uncle Valley, and he's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, then I got to do it.
I make it a point not to know as little as possible that goes on at work, because that makes me less responsible for what goes on at work.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, I don't know how it happened and stuff, but what happened is somebody hacked the computer system at work, and I think it went through the printer one of our printers. That's how they got through into our network.
That sounds good.
And they pulled the whole thing down, and we were down for what, 1 or 2 weeks or something like that?
Yeah, it was a little while.
I mean, it was just paper, everything.
Pain. Yep, wow. paper.
Computers were gone, everything.
Handwritten.
Mm-hmm.
Paper.
Yeah. And it was ransomware, though. They wanted a ransom to give it all back. And I don't know, Pitt, Ohio probably didn't pay that, I imagine. Yeah.
What I don't know, I don't have to be responsible for.
Are you nosy at all at work? Nope. Do you
I'm
ever...
not. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I know what my job is. I know where I'm going from night to night. And there are guys who it's their, you know, they think it's their job to know what everybody else is doing. It's my job to know what I'm doing, go where I'm going, and not worry about anybody else.
Yeah.
And you know what that does? That allows you the freedom to walk in the gate, put your hat on. I'm Pitt, Ohio. And when I walk back out that gate, I take my hat off and I don't care. You know, I mean, I love the company. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean it that way. It just allows me the freedom to not be bogged down. And that's what I like.
Yeah.
So I don't ask a lot of questions, and nobody tells me any lies.
So did you ever get in a sticky situation with driving a dump truck at all? I mean, going off road, dealing with snow, stuff like that. Because I know you were talking to my dad about certain things when you came in here. And that's the thing. I was like, yeah. You know what I was thinking too.
I know exactly what you were thinking.
You've been here for a few hours now. And as soon as you walk in the door, I'm starting to talk to Aunt Karen. And I overhear you and my dad talking. You sit down right and you start talking about work and driving and this, that, and sort of like, save it for the show,
and we're laughing our asses yeah. off. It was funny. We're just screwing around talking about truck driving. I knew what Tony looked at me, and I was like, I know what he's thinking.
I was like, shut up, Dad. Shut up, Dad. Stop talking. Change the subject. Like, save it for the show. I honestly don't know what you guys are talking about, though. I just overheard it, so you can tell me.
It was just stuff in general about truck driving, but I mean, sticky situations. I mean, they would send us to places. Particularly in the wintertime, we did a lot of salt deliveries for municipalities in PennDOT.net.
Yeah.
A couple of years back, we were doing it further north up in the Mount Pocono area. And we had a couple of guys who were following each other to make a delivery. They got up not too far from Tunkhannock. And the one guy called back and told our dispatcher, I'm coming back. And he said, why? He said, there's a foot and a half of snow up here. The dispatcher basically said, well, it's barely flurrying down here. And the guy said, look, you can't make me stay out here. I'm coming back. They got turned around, and no sooner they get turned around, the guy who was following him slid off the side of the road and ended up sitting there for 6.5 hours waiting for a hook. So if they would have gone any further, who knows? I mean,
exactly.
It was bad enough he sat there for that length of time.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that drives me nuts, too, because I don't ever want my company, and this is probably my codependency in life, right? Mm-hmm. But like, I don't ever want my company to think that I'm out there not trying, you know?
Right.
And so, a few years, and I might have told the story on the show before. I don't care. Listen to it again. If you're a new listener, welcome. But I was in Bensalem, and it was getting bad, and I just waited too long. Because I didn't want to be the first guy to say, I'm bringing it in, you know?
Right.
And when I did call it in and I said, hey, I'm going to come back, it's probably around noon. They said the same thing to me. They're like, you know, it's not doing anything down here. And I'm like, it's doing a lot up here. And they're like, all right. And I'm like, I'm not lying. You know, I'm not lying.
Check your radar.
But by the time I got to 422 getting off the turnpike and stuff, the roads were just wet. And I was like, what the heck? I mean, we had like almost a foot of snow up north, and there's only an hour difference.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just it. I mean, your dispatcher's working on the information he has right there.
Yeah.
And even if he's listening to the radio, he's listening to the local station.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're any more than an hour and a half away, he has no clue what's going on. Yeah. He doesn't have the slightest idea.
Where do you get the salt from?
For a while, we were getting it from, when I first started, from American Salt on 6th Street in Reading.
Okay.
And that comes in on rail cars. And then the company I work for stockpiled it themselves. They got it from Cargill, who's a huge supplier of salt for that. They stockpiled it at our yard, and then we just moved it from there to the municipalities.
Okay.
But yeah, it's that's not a bad deal doing salt. It depends where you're going. If it's PennDOT site, most of the time, anytime you're dealing with something like that, you're in, you contact somebody, where do you want it dumped, you're out.
Yeah.
So within a few minutes, you're in and out. And you can do a handful of runs in a day.
Hmm.
But that's not a bad deal doing that. That's all right.
Is it like not train driving? It's like team driving, like a bunch of trucks all together, kind of going up the road and stuff.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, if we were doing something like salt, you know, for instance, we're going to Slatington Borough or Slatington PennDOT, which is up on the top of a hill.
Mm-hmm.
They might want, you know, 300 tons. So at 300 tons, that's going to be about, if you put four trucks on, it's going to be at least four trips back and forth. So then you'll get separated because of, you know, this guy's dumping, he pulls out, he wants to go, you yeah. start dumping your truck. So you get spread out a little bit, but you'll eventually catch up with each other again. But if you got four or five trucks going to the same place, they'll generally ride together.
Yeah, because I do see the dump trucks out on the road together, and I wasn't yep. sure if they what the whole deal is. I'm assuming that they all work together and stuff, but I noticed that like dump trucks tend to like drive like madmen when they're empty. Is that because you guys get paid by the load or what?
It depends on the company. A lot of the companies that we were dealing with, that we might be at a site with, They got paid by the hour with the company I was with. It depended on the way they signed the contract.
Oh.
There were times we got what they called a day rate. So if it's, you know, $200 a day, if I can get five loads done, it's $200. If I get two loads done, it's still $200.
Guess how many loads I'm getting done for the same amount of money?
Right.
One.
Two loads.
Right.
I'm doing one and getting a flat tire and a coffee.
I got one done, Pete. We also had the advantage to get paid by the ton. So if it's a PPL site, we might get paid $10 a ton, do two loads, go into a landfill. Mm. If it was by the load, which we already got paid for once, a couple of times, then it might be, you know, $75 a load, get as many done as you can, but they want at least three done. Mm. And the only downside to that is if you don't get the number in that they're hoping you get in, it's just money out of your pocket.
Yep.
And every once in a great while, we actually did get paid by the hour. That didn't happen too often because the contracts they signed either were for a certain amount of loads or a certain amount of tonnage, one of the two.
And that sucks.
Yes.
That sucks on the driver's part because you run into traffic, you run into problems, anything. You run in when you're getting loaded, you know, get behind a line of trucks, whatever. You know, that just holds you up. And that's just money out of your pocket.
Yeah.
I used to get paid that way when I worked for another company. I did bulk tanker, and that's why I do what I do now, because I don't work for free.
That other company was Venezia, and
I try not to burn any bridges, and Tony just comes up behind me and torches him.
Here's the flamethrower.
Tony, he's not flamethrowing him. He's like putting out, you know, C4.
He just blew out bomb.
He went scorched earth all the way.
You know, here comes Tony with his stealth bomber. There goes my bridge. Not that I'm looking for any job, but you know what I mean?
It's a long time ago. I think we could throw them under the bus.
It's like 20. And here's the thing, like,
I still resent you a little bit for this, Dad. Venezia allowed you to bring your truck home with you, and you never did.
Where was I going to park it?
Park it on old 22 like the other guy did. Like, I have a dad that's a truck driver as a kid. I think it's so cool. I would love to, like, climb around the truck and stuff. The dude never brought it home. Every time I see him pulling in the driveway with his car, I'm like, oh, there's Dad again, the truck driver, but no truck. Just a stupid Nissan Sentra.
I don't think he drives a truck.
Yeah, and I remember the one time I saw you in the truck was when you were done working there. And I don't know why we had to do it, but like I we had to follow you because you had to drop off the truck for whatever reason. And it was like the only time I remember seeing the truck, and you let me climb up in the truck and sit in and stuff. That was the first time I sat down in a truck ever. By the way, where was that Venezia? It's not the one here in Pottstown. There's right one right down the street
in Sanatoga.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the one you worked out of?
Yeah. That was the main hub.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
No. I didn't know that.
No, that's where it was. We, you know, they had a satellite where you parked your trucks up at the Evansville plant. That's where I parked at.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I delivered that one and they offered me a job once.
Yeah, that's because they're always looking for drivers.
I was like, my dad quit there for a reason. He's at Pitt, Ohio, and I'm at Pitt, Ohio now. So I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, probably not a good idea.
Nah.
But so I remember we were driving to drop off that truck and you took us down a road and you were flying. And we went over these hills with the car and like my gut's jumping and everything. And you did that on purpose, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I tell you, Dad, you really dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah.
You
and now what are you doing for a living?
I'm driving truck.
Okay, stop complaining.
Maybe
you can sit in a truck every day now.
Maybe I would have got into it sooner, though. You never know. Come on, Dad. Come on. Mm-hmm.
You really think that?
Honestly. You know, what did I tell you? Years ago, when you first started driving.
Don't do it.
Uh-huh. I never wanted you to drive truck. Yeah. And I did not want this to happen to you.
Yeah, well, here I am. And look at me now. Look at me
the
now.
The sun is shining on me.
Yeah. It's not bad, though.
It's a great job, and it's a good living. And I don't mean to demean the job at all. It really is a good job. You know, it's a job that takes up your life.
Yeah.
It really does.
And that's something that I had to get used to. I like hear what you think about that too. Cause I mean, with Pitt, Ohio, I mean, when I first started, it was tons of hours and I was down for that because
I wanted to make money.
I was there to make money. I mean, the whole reason why I decided to get back into driving truck at Pitt, Ohio was because I needed to make money. Right. So they said to me, it's gonna be a lot of hours. I'm like, cool. And I mean, I was working 14-hour days. I mean, I would literally come in at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm on call, driving a straight truck in the city. And a lot of times I was the last one out I mean, it's dark out all the time, tons of hours. And over time, that got to me. And I got tired. And, you know, I was like, I'd like to see my wife every once in a while. Then I had kids. I'm like, I really want to see my kids, you know? Did you ever have to deal with that kind of like long hour stuff at a long period, a stretch of time with anywhere of the driving you've done?
With Dunbar a little bit every once in a while. We did, I did a bank run every other or every Thursday, and it could turn into a 14-hour day pretty quickly. Mm. When I started working for the other company, it would get long once in a while. If they were sending us any real distance, and then we had to come back, get the truck dumped. And it was kind of discretionary. If we were in Connecticut picking up a load of dirt that had to go to Hatfield, okay, it's 4 hours up there, get loaded, it's 5.5 back. Do you have enough time to get dumped and get back to the yard and not run out of your hours? They didn't want it to be discretionary, but it became that after a while.
Yeah.
There were guys who on the way back decided, I can't get to Hatfield and get back and still have time left. I'm going to dump this tomorrow morning. So they just shoot off, break there, dump the truck the next day. But there were times it got to be some long hours, you know. And the sad part is that, you know, sometimes your dispatcher's involved in those long days.
Most of the time. if it was up to me, if I could just pick and choose and stuff, I mean, I'd be punching out at 4 o'clock every day.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
This past week, I went back to work because I spent about 2.5 weeks off with the baby.
You work so hard.
And shut up. And so I work harder than you. Yeah.
I work long.
Here's the thing. Like recently, maybe not because I've been barely working.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah,
when right. I'm working
all year,
when I'm working, I'm peddling freight. I'm city driving. I'm moving freight. When's the last time you had a touch?
When's
freight?
The last time you drive 500 miles?
I don't care
in a day.
I don't care about that. I don't care about how long you drive.
Yeah.
When's the last time you pulled 2,000 pounds on a pallet jack?
You know what? They don't pay me to work that hard.
But no, I spent about 2.5 weeks out with the kid and stuff. When I went back, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to get punished for being out. And she's like, what do you mean? I said, I'm going to have the late runs, the dropping hooks. And sure enough, both it was Wednesday and Thursday night, both nights.
All 2 days that he worked.
well, Friday was... I mean, he kind of speaks truth.
Yeah, kind of.
So I'm really, really, really local. I mean, yeah. I drive 20 minutes to work and then like I drive 20 minutes back to this area
with your truck to do your deliveries and then drive 20 minutes back to work and to drive 20 minutes back home.
I mean, Friday, I got, well, let me finish first, but Tuesday or Wednesday and Thursday, I did these late runs and stuff. I didn't punch out till like 8:30 at night. And then Friday, I was thinking, these suckers are going to do it to me 3 days in a row. And so, and I'm looking at my run. So each day that I got sent out late, I was, I had a short run. I mean, I was done with my deliveries probably in Boyertown by like 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, Omni Cable in Westchester. I'm like, come on. So I drive from there to Westchester and I sit there for 2-3 hours waiting to be able to back into a door. So I watch Netflix on my phone and
what a hard job.
I order dinner through DoorDash app and they deliver it right to my truck. It's great. So my dad's sitting here shaking his head for me.
You're right. That's a rough job.
I'm telling you.
It is rough. It is rough.
You know, things have really changed since I ran the city 20 years ago.
You didn't have smartphones back then. We have supercomputers now. I use them. Okay.
Boy, the things I could say right now about smart anything.
So on Friday, I get done. And so I forget how it all happened, but I wound up leaving with not a lot of stops again. I'm like, freaking A. And so I get the deliveries done and they hook me up with a bunch of different pickups. But I'm thinking to myself, what's going to happen is I'm going to have to do these pickups and they're going to say, bring it on back to the terminal, grab an empty, go to Omni. Because I did one delivery or to pick up in Collegeville, terminals in Phoenixville. It's right there.
Yeah.
And then they bring me to Egypt Road in Phoenixville to do a bunch of pickups, which is right where the terminal is. I'm thinking to myself, they're bringing me back. And so I'm trying to drag my feet, but I just can't do it. Like, I'm not good at that. I just got to keep moving. I'll drive myself crazy if I'm just dragging my feet. And so it's like 4:30 and I'm at my last pickup. And I'm thinking to myself, I got to take my lunch break by 5:30. It'll be my 8 hours. And if I call in now and say, I'm done, they're going to say, okay, bring it back and grab an empty. So I was like, good time for a lunch break. I took my 30-minute lunch break. And then after my lunch break, then I did my paperwork and stuff. And by then it was a little after 5 and I didn't even bother calling it in. I just drove right. I literally drove maybe like a tenth of a mile to the terminal and it was all good. So I had a nice half day Friday.
Well, that's not, yeah, half day is right.
My goal is not to take a lunch break. Let's just be honest. Like if I can punch in at 9:30 and punch out by 5:30 and I have to take a lunch break, I'm good with that.
I'm down with that.
I'm good with that. Yeah. But it's so crazy how from the time that I started 8 years ago to now, I've flipped. Like I went from wanting to work tons of hours. I mean, I was trying to hit 70 hours a week. Like that's what I wanted. Mm-hmm. I probably averaged 60. I mean, I just always was trying to work. And now it's like, I want to see my family. Like, yeah. I want to be around my kids and, you know, all that stuff. And it's just my mindset's changed so much. I don't know how you guys have done it for so long. You know, I know you've been driving for 27 years. Yeah. And it's like, the idea of driving truck for 27 years. Like, I know what it's like being a truck driver with kids because I was that kid that had a truck driver dad. And don't get me wrong, it was awesome when you would have to lay over in Cleveland and I knew you weren't going to be home for 48 hours.
Woo-hoo, I was like, that coming I was home. Like,
get away with murder!
We got pushover mom sitting around.
But I mean, at the same time, as the dad now, I'm like, And so I'm in this awkward situation right now with my job where it's like, you know, I enjoy driving truck and and I'm also glad that it's provided, you know, the life that, you know, I can provide for my family. Right. But at the same time, it's like the lifestyle I'm not thrilled about, you know,
it's hard.
It's just not thrilling for me.
How was it for you, Cam?
It's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
When I started at Dunbar, I was like you, Brian, you're putting the time in and, you know, you get phone calls at night. And I think the breaking point for Karen was we were on vacation. I kept my Nextel with me. they called me on a Friday.
Wow.
They called me on Friday and they said, hey, can you come in and work a route tomorrow? I'm like, I'm not even leaving North Carolina until tomorrow. Can't you leave a little early and give us a hand?
Wow. Ballsy.
She heard that and I didn't hear anything for a while. The thing is you got to balance your home time, your family time work.
Yeah.
Because it literally took Karen looking at me one day and saying she's not going to be little forever.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So appreciate your kids when you can.
Yeah, you definitely have to. That's exactly it. You got to take the time.
Yeah.
You got to take the time.
Yeah.
You have bad days at work and stuff and it's easier.
It's usually, you know, those bad days are usually Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Every week. Only the days that end in Y.
Yeah, exactly.
It's easy to carry home that.
Yeah.
That baggage from work.
Right.
Especially some days. I mean, you know, we do this show every week and we talk about the industry. We have guys come on the show and they share their experiences, driving crazy experiences and stuff. And it's fun. And we wouldn't do it if we don't like it. Right. Right? There's a part of us that, you know, enjoys driving and everything.
Yep.
But there's a lot of parts of the industry that just on a daily basis, little nuances that just get underneath your skins and you're like, son of a, you're fuming angry. Like, I don't know how everybody else reacts when they get pissed and everything, but I know there's been times that I'm in my truck and I literally just pound the ceiling above my head with my fist. Just, I have so much energy of rage. Right. I just like, I got to, that's why I got the punching bag in the garage now. But I mean, it's like, and it was different when it was just me and Lindsay here.
Yeah.
You know, like I come home and I have the baggage. I'm like, oh, work this, that. And then we talk about it, whatever. And, you know, she's nice to bounce things off of.
Right.
But with kids, it's like, I don't want to bring that home. I don't want my kids to hear me complain about work because, like, I don't want it's just none of their business. I don't want them to have to deal with me being stressed out at home because something that happened during the day that's outside of their control. They only get to see me an hour a day because I'm working long hours or something. And that hour is me being pissed off about something that happened 5 hours ago.
Right.
And it's just like, it's one of those things where I'm really, when I come home at night and I'm maybe pissed off about something that happened that day, sometimes I'll sit in my truck in the driveway for 15, 20 minutes,
right.
You know, listening to this music or something and just try to really bury it. So when I walk through that door and Ben comes running over and he's like, "Daddy," I'm just like, "Hey, buddy," and just let it go and get it out, you know, but it's hard.
Right.
It is. That's the beauty of having an hour ride home.
Right.
When you
have to find that one thing that allows you to de-stress, mm-hmm. no matter what it is, you know.
Yeah.
With me, when I was working for the dump truck company, you know, if we were leaving Morrisville, which was a landfill, I had an hour and a half ride home.
Mm-hmm.
I'd enjoy a nice cigar all the way home, mm-hmm. just chill out, relax. Didn't let anything. You want to cut in front of me? Knock yourself out. My day's done. I'm just going home.
You know, it's funny you say that because I kind of get that attitude as well. And for me, my reasoning with not caring with the cutting off and stuff is different than my dad's. Well, I don't know how you react when people cut you off, Dad. I've never driven with you in a truck, but for me, I'm just like, whatever, because I get paid by the hour. Like, go ahead, cut me off, slow me down. I'm getting paid. I'm not going to rush. I'm not going to get pissed off about it because I'm getting paid by the hour right now. Now, guys like you, Dad, who get paid by the mile, I imagine it's a little more. Because your job is different than mine, where it's like we work for the same company, but you fight the clock every day.
Right.
Like the clock is your enemy because the more time that goes on and winds down, the more you got to get back to the terminals. You're laying over somewhere and that's not the goal.
Exactly.
For me, I don't ever have to worry about that. Like I've never hit 11 hours drive time.
And the more time that I'm driving, the less money I'm making an hour.
Yeah.
Because I get paid mileage. So I'm getting paid the same amount, whether it takes me 5 hours or whether it takes me 4 hours. You know what I mean? So my paycheck doesn't change because I'm still driving the same amount of miles. But, you know, I think it's just a time thing. Over time, I've seen too much, experienced too much, watched too many things happen that you just get to a point where you look at it and you're like, nah, I'm just not, you know, I get irritated like everybody else. You do get irritated, but you contain it. You know, you just have to. You just turn the music up. You open the window. You cool off. You take a drink, you know, of water or coffee. I don't mean to take a drink. But, you know, you find a way to diffuse that because you have to. You have to. And, you know, I can't say I was always like that. I wasn't. I have not always been more laid back in the seat. It's something you learn in time. You learn to deal with what people are doing. You learn. You hate it. You hate. You learn to look at drivers and just understand they're just as human as I am. I do dumb stuff too when I'm driving in my car and don't think about the consequences, even though you try to. And so it makes you more cognizant of what's going on around you, and it makes you think about it. It makes you, when you're driving in your car, I think about things. And you know what? I'm at a point now when I'm driving in my car and I'm on the highway. If I'm doing 65, you're lucky because I'm not flying along for anybody. Somebody comes flying up behind me. There's a lane right next to me, dude. Yeah, take right. it. I don't care if you go around me, but I'm not going to push it. You know, I drive all night long on the highway all night long. It's like, you know, I was coming into work. You know, I go into work the back roads, taking, you know, when I'm driving to work. And you and I were riding together last weekend.
That's
and you
right,
said to me, "Why do you go this way?" I said, "Because I'm on the highway every night, all night."
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like to get off the highway, mm-hmm. sit in the coolness of the back roads, roll the windows down, just relax and listen to some music. And relax and unwind on my way to work. Maybe listen to a little bit of Wes Kirmer, a little bit of Confessionals. You know what I mean? I listen to a little bit of Tony, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm listening to something and just unwinding on my way to work and just focusing on what I got to do tonight. And that's what you got to do. And that is how you really have to handle it, because that's what's going to get you through. If you're going to drive, if you're going to do this for a living, it's what you got to do. You have to learn to just deal with people and understand that they are just as flawed as you are. You know, the crazy stuff that you see, you just deal with it. But it doesn't mean you don't get frustrated with it. You know, you just do. You really do. Because you can't get away from it.
Yeah, it's part of human nature.
It is. I
mean, it's, you know, as much as you try and fight it, it's part of the human experience.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it is.
And the whole, like I said, the whole idea is to find that one thing that allows you to just think about something else for a very short time, even just a ride home and de-stress.
Yep.
You know, when I worked for the dump truck company, there was guys who somebody cut them off and they were on the CB. Did you see?
Oh, yeah. And you hear those guys out there. You know, I hear those guys. And it's like, what's the point?
Right.
You're getting mad and yelling. I mean, okay, it gives you a little bit of chance to de-stress. You give yourself a chance to, you know, push that out, get some of that frustration out. But I mean, to really, some guys go on and on and on. It's like, okay, you know, whatever. Turn the CB down.
I don't even have a CB in my truck. I mean, I don't share a truck with anybody, so it's just my truck. And so I'm a city driver. I don't need a CB.
Yeah.
And so I just do my thing and listen to podcasts all day. And I mean, let me ask you this. What do you listen to in the truck? Do you just listen to radio, music? What do you listen to?
It depends on where we're at. If we were in Northern Jersey, excuse me, I would catch a New York station, CBS 101.1.
Okay.
And that's a combination of news every 15, 20 minutes and music. And then they banter back and forth. If we were further south in Jersey, it's more of a news radio station that I could pick up. It depends on what stations I can get where we're going. There were some times when we were going to Connecticut, you hit a dry spell from just north of Northern Jersey all the way up to almost the Connecticut line.
Oh, it sucks.
So
it's when you start singing to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what old songs do I remember?
Yeah, you're traveling with three or four of the guys and, you know, they'll talk the whole time. The minute that you lose radio signal, they stop talking.
Of course.
They talk themselves out. I got nothing else to say.
Yeah, I'm all done.
Save it, boys, for the time that we're down. Yeah. You know, we don't have any radio stations to listen to.
That is the way it works.
I mean, I listen to tons of podcasts now. I stream off my phone. In fact, I think last time I checked, I was going through like 65 to 70 gigs of data a month on my phone.
Wow.
Because all I do is stream all day long. And I listen to tons of that stuff. I hardly listen to music anymore. And I just think about, if I didn't have the option to listen to podcasts, how would my experience be driving truck? And I think I would be miserable. Because I get bored easily. And so if I'm listening to music that I've heard a million times every day, what you described about how there's the news every 15 minutes, then there's banter back and forth in between songs, that kind of switches it up at least. Because like a lot of music stations, all they do is they play music and, hey, you're listening to blah, blah, blah. And da, 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 here's the next song. And they play another song that you heard a million times.
That they just played 10 minutes ago and it's on loop.
And that's like, so I mean, guys who've been driving for, you know, years, and you've been doing this since like the dawn of the day, you know, like the dawn of time. Like, I mean, I think the dinosaurs were still alive when you started driving truck then.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I mean, I just wonder what, you know, it was like for you driving truck back then when they invented ice cream. So, you know,
let me tell you, back when Marconi and I were talking.
I mean, I'm just saying, like the guys who've been driving for a long time and stuff, I mean, it was different back then. I mean, obviously you had maps and no GPS and stuff, but like even just entertainment factor, being like stuck in this small cube all day long,
changing stations as you go.
Yeah, it's like golly,
that's the hard part. That's one of the things
that blow my brains out.
I remember when I first started driving, when I started running the road for Pitt. And, you know, like your first trips that you're going out and you're, you know, going to Pittsburgh or you're going out, you know, I can't tell you how many times you're changing radio stations looking for something to listen to. And then you find something you're into and you're listening to it and it fades out and you're like, oh, crap. So that's when I found Coast to Coast. I started listening. Yeah. And Coast to Coast, you know, you just go from station to station as you're going across wherever you're going. You can find a radio station that's got Coast to Coast on it. And it was always, you know, the crazy, weird, paranormal, whatever. Right. I mean, it was just the Art Bell stuff. Yeah. I mean, it really was an interesting thing to listen to. And that's when I start listening to, you know, the alien stuff and Bigfoot stuff and Dogman stuff and ghost stuff and, you know, you name it. I mean, I that's why when I listen to your show, The Confessors, I'm like, yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I heard that. But not all of it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on your show that's not, you know. You hear so much stuff.
When I first started my show, a lot of people were telling me that they reminded them of Coast to Coast with Art Bell back in the old days.
Yeah.
And I never.
A long time ago.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I never listened to those shows and stuff. Right. So it was kind of nice to hear, because I mean, Art Bell in my industry is a legend.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
when he passed away and stuff, we did, you know, remember Art Bell show and stuff with me and all that stuff. But, you know, it's really interesting that you bring that up, Dad, because, we talked about, you and I've talked about it on the confessionals, I think, at least. Yeah, I know we have. But
I know where you're going. Yeah,
and we have, right?
Yes, we have.
But it's nice because we have the other party here now.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get into it.
You know, I figured we would talk about that.
I didn't think about it, but I'm glad you did bring it up.
I figured we would bring it up.
When I was a kid, my dad would tell me this story about how he saw UFOs with his brothers and sisters at some aunt's house or something
like that.
Aunt Cheryl.
Up in New Tripoli.
Let me just tell you my version of the story before we get into this.
There was no problem.
I promise.
Were they doing butt stuff?
No.
So my dad would tell me these stories, and one, I didn't know my dad was into like listening to Art Bell and stuff like that until I started my show. But I was really interested in that kind of stuff. And so when he would tell a story, I was like, wow. But, you know, part of me was like, it's my dad just pulling my leg. And I remember we were at Aunt Bonnie, Uncle Dave's house, and we were all outside. It's dark out. Us kids were playing, and we were in the driveway. And my dad had just got done saying that story again to us at one point that week or the day before or something. And I remember him and you standing in the driveway. And I just remember my dad kind of talking to you about it. And he's like, do you remember when we were kids? And he relayed the story. And I just remember you looking at me like, yep, I remember that. And shaking your head up and down. I was like, no freaking way. And so
told you.
I don't know if I did a good warm up to this story, but my dad tells me this story of this, the what he saw in the sky. What do you remember? I mean, you're what, 6 years older than my dad?
Yeah.
So my dad's ancient, and so it means
you're ancient.
I belong to the eons.
But what do you remember from that?
As I recall, it was up at our Aunt Shirley's house. Mm-hmm. She lived up in New Tripoli. The house was situated between two hills. So a road ran down along the valley to her house and then past it. We were standing outside, like, you know, summertime, like we always did, outside running around like a bunch of wild savages.
Yeah.
And we stopped for a second, and you could see three lights above the hill, and they were not moving. They were stationary. As I recall, one was red, one was green, one was white, and they were almost in a triangle formation, but they just hovered right there. It looked like, from where we were standing looking up the hill, it looked like they were resting just a few feet above it. But when you're at the bottom of a hill, at the bottom of that hill, they could be 1,000 feet in the air. You don't know it.
Yeah.
And we stood there for the longest time and watched them, and they just did not go. They did not move for probably the better part of 15 minutes.
Any noise?
No. Jeez.
Yep.
No, there was no noise. But they did not move.
Yeah.
They hovered at the same spot.
How far do you think they were from you?
Not that far.
Well, beyond the top of the hill, it's hard to tell how far back they were from the top.
Mm-hmm.
But the length of that hill was 200 yards.
Yeah, we had go sleigh riding down that hill. And it was just across the road. Yeah. I mean, the hill was right across the road.
Right.
And we were standing kind of like in her yard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
we were. It was close.
The road was literally 1.5 lanes wide. It was just an old country road. And then the hill, you had maybe 30 feet before the hill started to actually go up. And then it was maybe 200 yards long, but probably not even that. But yeah, I remember that. They hovered there for probably about 15 minutes or so.
So I think last time I talked to you, Dad, I think I remember, I could be wrong on this, but this story, how does it end? Was it that you guys went in the house to get the parents and they came out and that's when they flew away? Because do you remember seeing these things fly away, or what? How'd this whole story end?
As I recall, a couple of the kids did go in the house.
Yeah, I think the younger ones, myself, and I think it may have been Andy,
and the
or
parents
whatever.
Did come out, but by that time, they kind of just disappeared. I mean, I turned around when I heard the door to see who was coming out, and when you turned back around, they were gone.
See, and that's kind of how you described the dad, way my dad. I honestly don't remember when we talked about this. It might have been on the confessionals.
It was one of our early shows,
or was it this show?
Yes, this show was one of the first things we talked about.
So, I remember the way you described it, it left me feeling like it happened fast. Like these things were there, and all of a sudden they're just gone.
Right,
and it was like nobody really can recall them flying off. They're just gone.
Right,
and it's really intriguing to me as somebody who does this for, you know, pretty much a profession now.
Right.
And it's like, I've seen things in the sky that I can't explain.
Right.
As a kid and as an adult driving truck, I've saw stuff in the truck, right outside of Willow Grove consistently. And, but I can explain that away as, oh, maybe it was a drone or something like that, that I just don't understand what it is or whatever. And when I was a kid, I saw something with my mom that was just, and my mom, I didn't think it was a UFO as an adult looking back at it until mom's like, nope, that was a UFO. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess it was. But it's really cool hearing other people that I know having those experiences too. Right. Now, when I bring that up, does it make you feel weird to talk about it? Because some people get weird, like, I don't want to talk about this. It's kind of weird.
No, it doesn't, because it was an experience of your life.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes the way the person who's asking the question might react to the answer causes people to kind of withdraw a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but no, it was a life experience. It was just something I saw, and so it's just part of my life.
I hear crazy, crazy stories on a weekly basis. You know, I've ever got to worry about my reaction to anything. I'm down for it. Let's do it. You know?
Exactly. I've heard your show.
Yeah. Like we talk about crazy stuff.
But you know, that's just it. That's a crazy thing. I mean, I realize we're supposed to be talking about the trucking industry and Uncle Pally's UFOs experiences and everything else.
But pull freight around.
But I mean, the reality is that this is a crazy world. And lots of stuff happens.
Yeah.
And there are things that we can't explain, and there are people who will try, and there are people who, you know, will formulate their own ideas. But sometimes you just have to let life happen, and you have to accept what you saw, and sometimes you don't have an answer. You know, I don't have an answer for what we saw when we were kids. No. And I remember it, and I don't know how old I was, but I knew at least you were 6 years older than I was.
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, you've got a better shot of remembering more of the story than what I would. And you did. I mean, you know, I remember the story. I remember it happening. And you just have to, like, it's like you said, it's part of our past. It's part of who you are. And there's no changing it. It is what it is. And yeah, I think you're right. Not knowing what the reaction of the person you're talking to who is asking the question, what is their reaction going to be? Are they going to think I'm a nutball?
Right.
You know, if I actually tell them what happened,
right.
You know, because that's sometimes how people feel, like, you know, I tell you, but yeah, you're going to think I'm crazy.
Right.
And reality is, and you get to an age in life where if you don't want to know the answer, don't ask the freaking question.
Yeah.
If you're going to make fun of somebody, if you're not going to take them seriously or at least hear them out, don't ask the question.
Right.
Exactly. Then don't ask. Because, you know, I don't have time to waste my breath.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you know, that's just it's just the older you get, the more you kind of get matter of fact about life, you know.
Right. Exactly.
You don't worry about it.
Right. Exactly. And the thing is that if it's easier to accept a condition or an experience in your life. And like you said, if the person doesn't believe you, that's on them.
Yep.
You
know, exactly.
The thing is, if I was one guy saying it, okay, then I am nuts.
Yeah.
If nobody else ever saw that, then I'm nuts. Then
yep.
Commit me. You know?
Then it's on me. But when it's a shared experience with other people and everybody's verifying it, saying the same things, it's like, yeah, then something, yeah, you saw something, something happening. That's why I'm never worried about the story, because it, you know, it is what it is. It's not exciting. It's not, you know, it just is what it is.
Right.
But
I wouldn't say it's not exciting though, because as a kid hearing that, it was thrilling for me to hear that my dad and his brother saw UFOs, something that I never thought I would see in my entire life. And it's just the mystery around it was just so cool. I was like, wow, that's like, you know, and I'm fortunate that I'm in a situation where, you know, every week I'm talking to people that have seen crazy things like that. And so, I mean, and it never gets old. It never gets old. Right. I just did an interview with a lady yesterday, and I was just from beginning to end, just totally engaged. Like it was just, it was, and Lindsay was texting me, I need your help. I'm like, you're gonna have to wait. I'm talking to somebody really cool. You know, like, I was like, I don't care. I'm interviewing, I'm working. Figure it out.
You know? Figure it out.
but I mean, I'm fortunate I get to kind of talk to people about these experiences and stuff. Yeah. And what you said about how the main thought is, you know, what the person that asked the question is going to react once I tell them.
Yeah.
It's actually you saying that is something that I hear you, and I take note of that, because as the person who asked to ask those questions and stuff, I want to make sure that I'm putting... I'm relaying to the person that's talking to me in a way where they feel comfortable talking to me, you know? And, you know, I think Tuesday will be episode 260 for me on the confessionals.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, 260 weeks straight, we put out a show. And so it's like, I think people that listen to the show understand that, you know, I'm not here to.
Yeah, you're serious.
And I always tell people before we start interviewing, I say, listen, I'm not a journalist. I have no preset questions here. I know your story from the email. Mm-hmm. We're just having a conversation. We're going to sit here. We're going to talk about it and have some fun.
Right.
And once I say that, I think they kind of loosen up. It's just like, oh, okay. So you're not like going to. I tell them, I'm not hammering you. I'm not here to play I got you. I'm just here to. I want to hear
your story.
I want to hear what you saw, what you experienced, you know?
Yep.
And it's fun, but reel it back, Tone. Reel it back. Trucks, yes. Driving. It's fun.
It is fun.
It's fun.
It is. And we're coming into the time of year where it's not as much fun. You know, North America, you get the crappy snowy days, and it's got cold quickly up here. I mean, this past really different.
Yeah, it got chilly at night.
Yeah, it like makes you wonder, are we going to have an early winter? Are we going to start seeing snow fly early?
Yeah.
Because last year was really a nice, I mean, we did not have a bad time. No, we didn't have a bad time last year at all.
Yeah.
Now this, you know, who knows? I mean, it just feels cold already, but yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's a wait and see.
It is.
All it is, wait and see.
And, you know, just slow down, take your time, be careful one way or the other.
Absolutely.
Yep. But, you know, it was really cool. It's really cool to have my brother on the show.
Yeah.
Actually get a chance to talk with him. Because to be honest with you, I haven't seen him since, I don't know.
Christmas. Almost Christmas.
Yeah. At least. Mm-hmm. At least Christmas. So it's been a while. You know, I mean, this is September. In fact, this is my wife's birthday. Happy birthday, Michelle.
Yeah, happy birthday, Mom.
Yeah, how about it? I better say that.
Happy birthday.
I won't do it. I think it was 2 years ago for Jack's birthday. I pranked him. And on my show, I told everybody it was Jack's birthday, and I gave out his phone number. And I told people to call and text him. And I think he said in the first week he had over 1,000 people text or call and stuff.
Yeah, you better not do that to your mom.
No, I won't do it to Mom. I won't do it to Mom. But I thought it was a good prank.
Yeah.
I like clowning Jack. He's fun. He's fun.
He is. He's laid back, too, which is good.
Yeah. He has really to be, good. Because, like, somebody has to be with me, right? I mean,
exactly.
Can you imagine if Jack was like me?
Oh, my word.
There'd be holes in the walls everywhere, you know? So Jack really has to be laid back. But Uncle Pally, thanks for coming on and
thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Thanks for hanging out with the Merkel tribe here, friends. This was another break room episode where we're just sitting around chit-chatting. Got a little mixture of everything on this episode, anywhere from driving truck in the industry, dump trucks to UFOs and
technology
and hacking trucks and all that stuff. I mean, that's what I love about doing what I do. And even just if you carry the last name Merkel, there's one thing that that's pretty much guaranteed. You know how to hold a conversation.
Yep.
And so I sit down and I'm like, I don't know where we're going to go, but we're going to go. And like, I literally, it's funny because I can say to a friend of mine, you know, well, what are we going to do? Like, how are we going to, you know, talk? What are we going to talk about on this show? Like, I remember I did on my other show, The Confessionals, I did this thing called a think tank where I had I think it was like four other guys come on my show at one time. And we sat around and we you know, pontificated about, you know, different things.
Big word.
And yeah. And I remember my one friend was like, well, what are we going to talk about? I was like, I don't know. And he's like, what do you mean you don't know? I'm like, I don't know. We're just going to hit record. We're going to go. And he's like, what? But that's just, I know that I can do that.
Yeah.
And so I knew that coming down here with two guys that carry the same last name as me, I was like, oh, we're going to be able to easily do an hour. That's cake. Right. You know, it's like a cakewalk.
You got that right. It's nothing.
Yeah. And I tell my dad, and I think we told the audience before, like growing up, the adults, they sat around the table, just talking for hours.
Talking and drinking coffee.
I mean, we'd go to Grandpappy's house and we'd be there for hours. And then it'd be, okay, we're gonna get your coats on, we're gonna go. And we'd still be there for over an hour.
Everybody's sweating.
I'm sitting at the door with my winter coat on, sweating, falling asleep. You guys then get up from the table talking, work your way to the door, and then you talk for another hour at the door. Then we walk out of the house. We're outside in the cold air, standing on the sidewalk, Grandpappy are on the porch talking. It's like, save it for next Sunday. We're going to do this every Sunday, guys. You know? Like, but it's funny because every week got together and there was conversation. Not a dull moment.
Nope.
Not a low in conversation.
We were gearing you up for something.
Yeah. And then, you know, even at our house, it was the same thing. It's like, you know, I had friends in high school that never sat at the kitchen table to eat dinner with their family. That was a requirement at my house, you know, and it was like, there was no going in the room to watch TV. We sat around, we talked all the time. It's like, so, you know, when you do that your entire life, it's like, you got to get good at holding conversation because you're going to have to do it tomorrow too.
Yep.
So you better get used to it, you know? And I always tell people, I've been training to be a podcaster my entire life. I mean, that's just, I mean, this is what I do. You I talk to people. Right. So I don't know if people enjoy it. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
God bless. You know?
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please, Dad, what can they do?
Share the show.
Share the show.
Share it with friends.
Yep.
Share it on Facebook. Share it on Twitter. Share it on Instagram.
Yep.
We just want you to share the show.
Share the show.
If you get an opportunity, go to hammerlanelegends.com.
Yep.
Check out the gear.
Oh, yeah.
And share the show that way, too. You can buy something, wear it, use a coffee cup, whatever it is you do, and share the show that way.
Share the show that way. And remember, we have that new design on the store, and I love it.
It's beautiful.
Hammer Lane Gang. Go check it out. HammerLaneLegends.com. Click the gear section. You'll see it right in there. And you can go ahead and get your version of that in t-shirt, hoodie, and we offer it in women's t-shirts as well. So go ahead and check that out if you're interested in that. And until next week, friends, keep the hammer down in the Hammer Lane.